It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be lying with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show, and going over what happened with the Rockets last night against the Spurs, I had to check myself, because when you start to watch Wembanyama play, and knowing he's like a 20% three-point shooter, you're like, hey man, get your tall ass in the paint. That's in my head, like, all right, watch it. You're becoming Shaq. You're becoming all those old heads who watch a guy who's 7-plus, however tall he is, and go, what you doing floating out there so much? I know Pop ain't there, and that seems to be a scary situation as far as the health of Greg Popovich. But you look at Wimby, he's a terrible three-point shooter. Still can get them six up a game at least. The Rockets have done a good job against him since the first time they played, and that has resulted in Rockets wins. They win again last night. They win going away, so much so that Fred VanVleet, who feels like he's always nearing 40 minutes, didn't even get to 30. That's how well they played in that first half, and kind of poured it on in different stretches of the second to make it a very comfortable win for the Rockets. So they're 5-3. Their 8-game Texas residency is over. They will finally leave the state of Texas for their game against the Thunder. 8 games all in the state. The 3 road games were in Dallas and San Antonio, and they close it out with the 5-3 record. So not bad for them. They found a way to not have one of those games where it's up and down and they go up 20 or go down 20 and fight back. This one was an ass kicking from start to finish. So a nice way to wrap it up, beating the Spurs and they beat the Knicks as well. So Rockets head to the Thunder. The Thunder 7-1, one of 3 7-1 teams in the NBA. I don't want to say a real test. It's one game in the middle of November, but let's see what they got. The Spurs are a team, despite adding Chris Paul, who was supposed to be a stabilizing force, and having Wembanyama as they try to continue to develop with him, they're not good. They're in fact, and probably being kind, they stink. And this is certainly a different challenge on Friday with the Thunder. So interesting to see how that plays out. The Rockets have played well against the Thunder in stretches. Particularly, I remember them last year giving the Thunder all they wanted in a game in Oklahoma City. So we'll see how it plays out tomorrow. Some news, and really the lack thereof when it comes to the Texans. We'll talk Rockets as well, but just kind of give an overview of what happened yesterday. No news on Nico Collins. Today's the day. If he's going to be activated as far as being able to play against the Lions, you would imagine it would come today. Excuse me. He hasn't been activated from IR, so he can't be on a practice report, and that practice report had Will Anderson not practicing, so he could be in real danger of not playing on Sunday night. Jimmy Ward's back. Azeez Ashayer is back, so you're getting a couple guys back, but you hope to have Will Anderson back, and now we just wait. I don't feel great about the game either way, but if you're telling me that the guy who hasn't had any setbacks, according to Aaron Wilson, and is a full go as far as running, isn't going to play in regards to Nico Collins, I think the potential excitement about that game dips even more for me. The Lions are the best team in football, and the Texans, as I said, are getting healthier in some spots, but as far as a couple of their best players, that's still up in the air. So if I told you no Will Anderson, no Nico Collins, and either Kendrick Green. And Lance seems to think they're going to go Kendrick Green over Jarrett Patterson. That's the other news. Jarrett Patterson, not on the injury report. He's still in concussion protocol, but he did practice. You have to prove that you can practice and not have any setbacks, and then you'll eventually get out of concussion protocol. If I tell you it's a Kendrick Green on the offensive line and no Nico and no Will Anderson, what percentage right now would you put a Texans win over Detroit at?
20.
Is that mostly because they're wearing the battle red uniforms?
Yeah. Like, and just like it's the NFL and like stupid stuff.
Yeah, stupid stuff happens all the time.
Like the Texans should have gotten blown out by the Green Bay Packers and lost by 3. So
yeah,
it's like
that's true. You never know.
Sometimes just like weird stuff happens.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
But I mean 20% to win a NFL game
is very low. It's like, you're at home.
Like the Carolina Panthers have a higher chance than that most weeks.
Yeah, the FPI for teams.
Yeah, let me see what the matchup predictors.
Yeah, for the Texans.
It's probably like,
I don't know.
35.
Yeah, are they even taking into account who could be available and who may not be available for the Texans? So Thursday's always today. We'll find out. And if Nico's out there, what is it? Is it 35%?
37.8.
Okay. I think if we get word that Will Anderson and Nico are out, that's going to drop. I don't know how much a defensive end and wide receiver mean to the metrics, but
I know how much it means to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that feels high right now, 37%.
Yeah, their Lions are 4-point favorites.
Yeah, so I talked about the Rockets and a potential test for them on Friday. This is at this point as best as you're going to get in the NFL for the Texans. You're going up against a team who's playing well, who's coming off a win in Lambeau. Sean referenced the fact that the Texans were in a game but did not win. And you're going to see them. You're going to see Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're going to see a great offensive line and a dynamic running game. And a quarterback who they've done a great job of keeping clean. And if Jared Goff can stand back there and not be bothered, he's going to play off that running game and pick you apart. Very explosive offense. They only were held down really in Green Bay because of the weather. It wasn't a great weather day. We saw Jordan Love struggle with it, throw an awful pick on a screen, partly because of the weather. So won't be an issue here on Sunday. So the Lions, who play on field turf themselves at home, going to be a very advantageous environment for them to keep doing what they're doing. So the Texans need to be as healthy as they can, or it could be one of those games on Sunday night where we're like, wow, what's happened with the Texans? I don't need Chris Collinsworth waxing poetic about what's wrong with the Texans. You know, Mike, this was a team that everyone loved, and we're just not seeing it.
Or no, what's really going to hurt is the sideline shots to, you know, Texans players staring off in the distance.
Yeah, and, that blank stare.
Yeah, and Chris Collinsworth being like, and you got in the NFL, you got to pick yourself up because there's still half a season left to get things right. That's what's really
worse. I don't need the pep talk.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, I mean, this is a bad loss, sure, but you know, your season's not over if you're the Texans.
The Chris Collinsworth, hey, keep your head up thing. I'm not looking for it on Sunday night. I don't want that on Sunday night. I'm gonna need for him to be so overwhelmed by the performance of the Texans that, or just the fact that it's a great game. We don't get into the human interest stories that they get into when the game's not interesting anymore. Did you know, Mike, that CJ Flies is his barber out? That story does not need to be broken out in the fourth quarter because that means things are probably going poorly. That's all. Give me. Obviously, we want to win, but if I'm gonna be watching Texans football on a Sunday night, we're going to need less of Collinsworth talking about things beyond football. Have him locked in because it's a great game. Or maybe we get it the other way. You blow out the Lions and he's talking about the Lions, and it's a real, well, the NFL can shock you, can it, Mike?
Yeah. This is life in the NFL.
Yeah.
1 week you're on top of the world. Yeah, no. Should we even waste our breath talking about what if the Texans blow out the Lions? I have a hard time seeing that.
It feels like a very unlikely scenario, but maybe it caused a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
Maybe Jared Goff, the lights are too bright.
They don't know how to prepare for a team without Nico Collins and
Will Anderson. Yeah.
They're like, I don't know. Who do we guard?
They don't know how to guard Xavier Hutchinson. Could that happen? No. But maybe Joe Mixon goes for 250. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. 250. You just control the ball. It's a real Iowa game plan.
Yeah. You get a couple picks off batted balls. You get the Lions off their game script. The fourth downs they go for, God, don't go their way.
We have to win like we're Vandy.
I'm not calling CJ Diego Pavia. No.
That's insulting to Pavia.
Well, Pavia is a giant killer. So if CJ wants to be a little, I need CJ to be a little Diego Pavia on Sunday. Go out and beat the best team in football.
Yeah.
Go out and do it. Diego don't care. Particularly if it's Hugh Freeze. He's never had the best team in football, but Hugh Freeze can't touch Diego Pavia. Yeah.
Beat Alabama?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud never beat Michigan? I don't know.
Almost beat Georgia don't count. We don't care that you almost beat Georgia. Yeah. You know,
Pavia didn't almost beat Alabama.
No, he beat him.
He beat him.
Yeah. So, CJ, he can catch some jokes, but he'll be fine. He spoke yesterday, and he talked about the leadership on the team and how they have to make up for Stephon Diggs, obviously not being there every day. And it was a point of contention on the morning show that he did not mention Laremy Tunsil in the quote. He mentioned a lot of the captains. He mentioned defensive leaders. He mentioned offensive leaders. Surprisingly, he didn't mention John Weeks as a special teams captain. But he did mention everyone that you deem important for the Texans except Laremy Tunsil. And there are concerns that Laremy Tunsil is a bad influence. That is coming from inside the building, as reported by, well, I think Lance put it as people who would know. He put it on his kids that that's true.
What?
Yes, on his kids, on all of them.
Which one? Oh, okay.
Not just all one, of all okay. of them. You're like, oh, if he picked the one he likes the less, he likes the least. Maybe it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
He put it on all of them. He said, on my kids. So that would mean all of them. And he said that from people he trusts, CJ, by not mentioning Tunsil, is acknowledging that despite having that C across his chest, he's not a real captain. Laremy Tunsil is or isn't. So I am less concerned about that and more concerned about him getting beat off the edge, which happened in the Jets game. The penalties are one thing, but the penalties you can brush aside as, well, he's trying to get an edge and protect the quarterback. Well, if you're going to commit penalties and still give up pressures and sacks, then what are we doing here? It's PFF and those numbers don't always tell the tale, but when you look at the top tackles in football, he is not among them as far as his grade. Well outside the top 10. So he has not played up to the standard everyone's holding him to when you consider the money and the investment, and that's been a problem. And he is just one of the issues across that offensive line who definitely will have a new starter. The question is, who will it be, Green or Patterson? We have some sound from John Heyman, and this one is really more us playing it to determine if it's a story or not. Is he actually giving us news or simply regurgitating something he heard from Dana Brown? So Sean and I will be the judge of that. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on why they weren't active in the trade market and also why the Texans are losing games. He has an answer for it, and we'll see if we agree with that. We're just getting started here on the show. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
In D'Amico Ryan's first availability after the trade deadline passed, he was asked some questions about their lack of activity. And it was a question on this show. I think it even made our social video. We talked about we were looking for something. I didn't expect a big move, but an addition would have been nice. Instead, the Texans traded away a defensive tackle for depth. So this is who they are. This is their team. We go forward and we see if it's going to be good enough to reach their goals. I got some questions about that. Well, D'Amico faced some questions. Here is D'Amico Ryans on the reaction to their lack of activity.
I didn't emphasize anything to our team. Like, we have the guys we have. I mean, everybody thinks the trade deadline comes and you're going to, find this guy who's going to save your team. I don't see it that way, right? Transactions were made across the league, and there has to be two parties available to do a trade. Everybody's antsy about trades. It's not just us going and taking somebody from another team. People have to be available, and the trade has to be on good terms for everyone. So I know everybody's in an uproar about us trading at the deadline. It's like, it's not from a lack of us working to get our team better and improve our team, but there's no savior coming to save our team, and there has to be two parties involved in trading.
That man said it takes two to tango, but he used a lot more words to say it. I don't think anyone was looking for a savior. Frankly, the savior was drafted last year. If there is a savior for this team, it was CJ Stroud. Sean, what are the initials of CJ reversed? I love it. Just a sigh. I was hoping for a reaction like that.
JC.
Yeah. I mean.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. He does his work on a Sunday. He does. You might even say the Lord's work on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You might even say. So if the Savior was drafted, it was last year. If we're using that type of terminology. But I think people just look for you to make some type of improvement. And sure, yes, it does take someone else willing to trade. But a lot of teams are willing to trade. So I'm not even sure that's a real excuse. It wasn't as people weren't willing to deal. The question is, at the positions you needed help with, where are they? We know Marshawn Lattimore got traded. Whenever he's healthy, he would be a helpful addition. The question is, do the Texans feel like they have a problem in the secondary? Yes, people have to be willing. But the question is, how willing were you? He let it be known that they're always trying to improve their team, and the intimation is that we were looking out for something that would have helped. But how willing were you? Were you willing to give up multiple picks for Marshawn Lattimore if he was made available to you? Would you have given up a second-day pick for a starting caliber guard if one of them was made available to you? So they're never going to give us those answers, and it's understandable. I just would like to know, how willing were you? Were you willing to give up and maybe, quote-unquote, lose the trade when it came to draft compensation to fill a desperate need? That's all about the evaluation of their roster and how good they think it actually is. We'll find out if the offensive line has a savior in Patterson or Green when one of those guys takes over at guard. Or maybe it's a different scenario where they're moving Titus Howard, who has made it clear that he's reluctant to want to move to guard, and they throw Blake Fisher in at tackle. We've discussed these scenarios in the past. So there are no saviors present. There were no saviors added. I was just looking for an apostle or something. Give me an apostle. Give me someone who believes.
Yeah.
Not Thomas, because it could not Peter, because he denied a couple times. Well, yeah. I think three times too. Someone, give me one of the guys we don't know really anything about who stood on business, who never backed down. I need one of those if we're playing the savior card. Give me someone who's loyal and will do the job.
So like Paul?
And Paul took a while. Paul had to be turned around.
Yeah.
He had to. He even changed his name.
But that's like, you know, half the season they're
on a different team. That's the Saul version of Paul when he was on a different team.
You know, they're on the Saints for a couple weeks.
And another biblical thing.
I was just trying to think of a team that sold.
The Saints did sell.
Maybe a Bartholomew.
I don't want to say that name. Sean's looking up the apostles. I'll take a Paul. I don't know if Bartholomew can play guard, but I think a Paul could.
Oh, Simon the Zealot. That's what we need.
We do need a zealot.
We need Simon.
I mean, Simon was about that business. We do need a zealot at guard or corner, and the Texans don't make a move to get anybody. So here we are. Jalen Petrie will still be covering guys in the slot, unless Okuda, they're going to move him right into outside corner. He was one of the guys they did bring off IR. Him and Jerry Hughes, I believe, are the guys they designated to return. So Okuda is out of practice. There were thoughts, not from me, but from others, before the year that he could be a starting corner. Maybe he's the guy who takes over, and you can get Lassiter inside on third down to cover guys that Petrie is currently being asked to cover. and that does not go well. So maybe the savior is from inside the house, and it's Jeff Okuda. Got my doubts. Another thing D'Amico Ryans talked about was what is leading to them losing some of these games. He doesn't think it's the big things. He thinks they're smaller things. And apparently the details are what's getting in the way of the Texans winning some of these games.
Yeah, man, we've been in every game we've talked about, we've been in the games. We just
not the Minnesota one.
I guess it's this narrative like we're just not a good team, but we've been in games, we just haven't made the plays that, you know, it's not from a matter of effort and those things. It's a matter of being on the details, and that's what the league is about. The team who are on the details, especially in those critical moments. Talk about third down, red zone, like a situational ball. When you're on it and you're able to make those plays, that's winning football, right? We've been on the back end of that. When we haven't won games, we haven't played well on third down, we haven't played well in the red zone, offensively and defensively. So when you win those situations, you put yourself in a good spot to win games. So when I talk about executing and playing well, it's executing in those critical moments is what we haven't done when we've lost games.
Yeah, you go back to that Packers game. Tank drops a touchdown. That's lack of red zone execution. Late in that Packers game, when they have a shot to go score a touchdown or even just run more time off the clock, they can't pick up a first down. So there are some examples in that game. The Minnesota game, that wasn't about the small details. You got your ass kicked. That wasn't a details game. You were clearly the worst team. You were not a good team that day. So to his point about the narrative of whether they're a good team or not, I think your record at 6-3, normally that would say you're a good team. I would say you've played above average football so far. Even in your wins, you haven't exactly impressed. The Patriots game, you blew them out. I don't want to play. I mean, my natural inclination is go, well, it's the Patriots suck. But you know what? You blew them out. We'll give you that. You played average teams close and won, and you lost to Minnesota. You lost to the Jets. And the game that you could have won that you did not was the Green Bay game, but that was about maybe more Green Bay than you, even though I did lay out some of your red zone failures. I don't think it's unreasonable for people to be questioning whether they're a good team the way they've played recently. They're not bad. They're not. I think calling them above average is fine for now until they prove otherwise and they have a chance on Sunday. And then we can all shut up if they beat the Lions. Then that changes the perspective of how we feel about them. I think it's reasonable to start looking at this team and watch how CJ is slowly getting up from getting hit, and he's getting up slower and slower as the game goes on. I think it's reasonable to start to question how good you actually are if you lose to the Jets like you did, and you have shown a constant inability to protect your quarterback. I wouldn't find fault with anyone who's like, I don't know about this team. We know ESPN, even before the Jets game, ranked them the 12th best team in football. Their record going in was 6-2. Their record doesn't suggest you're the 12th best team in football, but the numbers behind it say maybe your record doesn't indicate how average you've played. But every week's an opportunity, Sean.
Yeah.
And this Sunday they have a chance to change the narrative about how people feel about them. Do we think it's going to happen?
What can they do to change the narrative that doesn't end with the W? Because I don't think
a close loss is changing anything. Unless it's some remarkable game and it's back and forth and Goff leads them down and CJ played great. If it's some 35-32 type game, 35-31 type game. Of course, we start questioning the defense. Sure, there's always something to pick at. But if it's one of those where you can't really – let's go back to Sunday. Now, these are two teams in way different spots. If it's like 30-27 like the Dolphins-Bills game, if it's one of those games where it's back and forth, just the last team who had the ball won, mm-hmm. and you get beat by a 60-yard field goal, you're like, all right, what are we going to do about that? The guy made a 60-yarder.
Yeah,
we thought we had a stop, but he made a 60-yarder. You would say – We ain't in it for moral victories because you already lost to the Jets. If you hadn't lost to the Jets and you lose to the Lions in that fashion, you're like, okay, the Texans are a good football team. They played the Lions down to the wire, and they lost on a crazy kick. But because you've already set a standard where you're losing games you shouldn't or you're non-competitive in a game where you play at a team that people think is good, nothing changes if you don't win. Because I think some of the same issues that have cost them or made them look bad in situations will pop up again in this game. I don't think they're going to fix everything and win and lose. If they fix everything, I think they should probably win the game at home. But the things that have cost them games can't remain for them to win. So that's why I think they lose. It'll be because of the same reason they've always been this year. And that means no growth has happened despite some changes that you were forced into because of injury.
I was just wondering.
No, you're right.
If it's a game we're all going into, like, they're going to get smoked.
But the
only way that we're not like, this team sucks is if they win a game we all think they're going to be smoked. It's a weird paradigm to have of, like, again, the expectations are so low. And it's like, but if you win, we're back in.
If you're 6-4, obviously how you get there matters. If you're 6-4 because, as I said, you play a great game, well, I'll say now, I don't think they suck. I think they're an above-average football team right now. But if they lose a close one, it doesn't change what I feel about them that much. It just makes me think, all right, the flaws are still the flaws, and good teams are going to be able to take advantage of it. If you win the game, like it's a one-game sample, but it means it shows what their ceiling is. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what their ceiling is right now because of what we've seen so far. Coming into the season, I mean, we did that prediction that wound up on our Instagram. Everybody did them. I had them if things broke their way in the AFC title game. I don't feel that way now. Mm-hmm. A win over the Lions on Sunday would change that for me. Okay, their ceiling is maybe closer to what I thought it was before the year started as opposed to what I've seen so far.
Speaking of what we would have thought of before the season started, the bottom third for first take.
I'm looking at it right now.
He's talking about the Lions-Texans game. The question is, are you higher on Goff or Stroud?
That was a question no one would have asked before the year started. I don't know what they're going to say, obviously, because I don't have the sound on. We'll see.
But they're showing Goff highlights as Dan Orlovsky's talking about.
So I wonder if they'll do that thing where they'll put the analyst name down, like they're picking a game, and they'll have Stroud or Goff like that, or will they just actually have a talk? Because then I'll be able to know. But yeah, it's a question that wouldn't have been part of the equation until the season started. And now Goff is.
And some of that's how Goff has played.
He's played really well. Yeah. He has played really well. I haven't seen every Lions game. Obviously, a lot of the time they're coming on the same time the Texans are, so I'm catching like red zone stuff for them. Yeah.
Or
so,
it's already a blowout.
Yeah, so like, what's the point of watching? So I'm not watching every Goff drop back, but he has played well. And a lot of people think he can be a little shaky when pressure gets to him, and I wouldn't say they're wrong, but he's got a great offensive line that mitigates a lot of that, and you can't knock what he's done. I think people, because of the priors, will probably still lean CJ, and CJ has the buffer of the offensive line being to blame. Like, if CJ Stroud was being protected like he should be, or like Goff is, people would say, hey, they likely go, CJ, I still take him younger, blah, blah, blah. We've seen what he did in year one. Goff still has all the scars of when he hasn't played well. There haven't been a lot of bad CJ games, mostly because he's only, what is he? He played a total of 16 games last year, if you include the playoff game and the two games he missed, and the 9 games this year. He's played under 30 games. There aren't a lot of moments, thankfully, where you can point to and go, man, CJ's really stinking it up today. So people have seen Goff play poorly in the Super Bowl. People have seen Goff get run out of L.A. The whole narrative before the last couple of years was the Rams knew he wasn't good enough, so they traded him for another quarterback, and then they won the Super Bowl. Goff has had to use the last few years to fight it, and now we're at a point where we're comparing him to what a lot of people thought was the best young quarterback in football. So credits to Goff. We'll see them not against each other, but at least on the same field on Sunday night. All right, we'll go to break here. Anyone want to get in, 713-780-3776. Goff versus Stroud will be a thing. More importantly, that offensive line versus the Lions defensive line, I think, is a bigger question about how that game's going to go. But we'll talk about that and more when we come back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. And it is Thursday, which means it is risk-free betting. We got a good NFL game. We got two of the top quarterbacks in the league tonight. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson playing really well. Speaking of quarterbacks playing well, and maybe you want to put a prop down on who will throw more touchdowns. Is Burrow a lock to go over two? Maybe you want to take a look, and MyBookie will provide that for you. Just go to mybookie.ag and check out all they have to offer, from odds to props in the NFL to college football to the NBA. They have it all. International soccer you're in on, they got you covered there too. Remember that promo code is bet975, and if you use it, you can sign up. And remember, they cover up to $1,000. Excuse me, they match up to $1,000, so maybe you're new. You don't know much about it, but you want to try it out. Just put $100 down. Now you got $200 to spend. Check it out. From the NFL to college football to maybe even just playing cards with the casino, the live casino option. It's all there for you. MyBookie.ag is the website. Remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
You want to call in 713-780-3776. We'll get more into the Texans, but some news regarding the Astros came out yesterday, I believe. They are having discussions about trading Ryan Pressly. And then when I heard it, or at least read it, I think I met it with a shrug. Like, okay, if Ryan Pressly's got to go, he's got to go. And I know how good he has been in the postseason. 2022, that entire bullpen was great. The last couple years, and particularly last year, his, let's just say, inability to get over being demoted. I'm not against Ryan Pressly, but the Ryan Pressly experience isn't an enjoyable one when you're watching. There's a reason the word stressly is part of the equation when he's out there.
And that was when he was a closer.
Yes.
When he was like actually one of the best closers of baseball. Yeah. I think people were being a little dramatic.
A little dramatic, but yeah, the innings weren't clean, but
yeah.
Understood. I get you want three up, three down. Hey, get him out. Let's reduce the anxiety. But the one we saw last year, it appeared, I mean, I don't think he ever spoke about it. It appeared he was affected by them going out and getting Hader. As far as his performance, I think even before the season started, Joe Spada had a conversation with him about what they were going to do. And it felt like he didn't take to it well, didn't embrace the role as the setup man, and it led to not so great returns. So if they make that move, you wouldn't want a corresponding move, because while he wasn't great, you don't want to significantly weaken your bullpen. You would imagine Abreu would go to the eighth inning role, and then you would need a seventh inning guy. I'm sure they could scrounge up someone. The best thing would be for Ryan Pressly just to pitch better. But if he's not going to pitch better, I would say, yeah, make the move.
Yeah.
If
save a little money in the process.
Sure. If that can, and well, I would say if that can, that money can be used to go strengthen your roster elsewhere, cool.
Yeah. I meant save money with your bullpen.
Yeah. You already have Hader. Do you need to be paying Pressly
two guys
as well?
Top of the market?
Yeah. No, you don't. Not necessarily.
Especially when one guy doesn't want to be an eighth inning guy
and doesn't pitch like a top of the market pitcher.
Yeah. So, I mean, also this reporting, it's funny because they have discussed internally about trading.
So they have
Ryan
not
Pressly.
Talked to anyone about a move yet.
It's like, yeah, I'd expect them to. Like the obvious move that we talked about when they traded for, or when they signed Josh Hader, and we're all like, well, Ryan Pressly has 2 years left on his contract and doesn't seem to love being an eighth inning guy. Maybe if things, I mean, when things were looking terrible in June, we thought the most likely guy, or one of the most likely guys, if the Astros were going to be sellers at the deadline. Well, what about Ryan Pressly? And so the fact that he's being internally discussed, like, congratulations to the Houston Astros for doing their job of thinking about, I don't know, maybe the surplus we have, we trade that to add to fill some of the holes we have on our roster.
Yeah, and Chandler Rome is the the reporter behind this. It's his story. And, of course, Ryan Pressly, because of his time spent in the league itself and with the Astros for five-plus seasons, he has a no-trade clause. And his wife, according to Chandler Rome, have no reason to think he's wrong, is a Houston native. So there would be reasons for him to want to stay and halt any trade that the Astros could put together. But he also may look at it as an opportunity to go close someplace. And if that's what he wants to do, that might be a way to, induce him or influence him into removing any trade blocking thing that he wants to put in place.
Yeah, I mean, no trade clauses are really so you can control where you go more than you cannot trade me.
Yeah, than keeping you someplace. He doesn't want to be sent off, I guess, to some backwater like Sacramento for Oakland in this case, I guess.
It's funny, here in Sacramento.
Yes.
But that's what I imagine. He wants to go somewhere that he has a good chance to close for a competitive team.
Sure.
It's just what I would assume. Because, again, since the moment Josh Hader was signed, it seems like there's been some hard feelings about Ryan Pressly no longer being the closer, even so much that they had to give him his closer's entrance when he comes in the eighth. Like preposterous to me.
Yeah. You're important, but you're just a regular old reliever now.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Does Brian Abreu need? Because Brian Abreu is
better than you. Should he get
pitch better?
Should he get his music too?
Yeah.
Does Brian
Martinez?
Brian Abreu comes in the ninth because he's closed games. Do we know what his music is?
No. Not off the top.
So does every reliever in the back of the bullpen because of the potential for them to close the game?
I don't think so.
They don't all have music.
No.
It's specific to closers.
Yeah, because...
Or, I guess, former closers
now. If it's like a 7-run lead...
You're not... Yeah. And if you're getting Hader in for some work, let's just say he hasn't pitched in 5 days.
But they still play the song.
They play the song because it's Josh Hader. It's your closer.
Yeah, but if it's, Jose Urquidy coming in to mop up some innings...
Well, he's a starter, yeah. I'm just thinking of anybody who, in a reasonable scenario, whether because your last... Because your actual closers pitched the last 2 days, could get thrown in there to close.
Should do that, though.
Would they have music?
Yeah. It's 11-3 in the ninth inning. Brian King is coming on to put the finishing touches on this one. I feel like we learn a little bit about Brian King, about what he wants to hear as he's jogging out to the mound.
I'm sure something from Vanessa Carlton. I'm sure.
Sure of that?
I'm clearly not sure of that.
A thousand miles
plays when he comes out.
I didn't know if I was missing a detail.
There's no chance of doing any research on Brian King and what music he likes. I'm sure Space City Home Network has done introspective pieces on a lot of Astros. I'm not sure they got the Brian King yet.
No, I think they have to deal with the bullet points. They still have the bullet points of went to high school and so-and-so.
Yeah, I don't know if they get to...
Drafted in the 14th round.
Hey, Brian, the likelihood of you ever being a closer here is slim to none. In fact, let's just make it none. But if you did have the opportunity to close games, what would be your song? I don't think that question is being asked by Vanessa Richardson.
They do that on every hitter gets a walk-up song.
They do.
Even the guys that never play, like Greg Kessinger, probably has a walk-up song that we just don't know.
Yeah, because there are times he gets at bat, so yeah, I'm sure he has one. But Brian King,
so someone has to write down like Greg Kessinger, we play Mambo number this. 5, whatever.
That's true.
But why can't we do that for relievers?
I think at some point you have to draw the line. You have to draw the line
in the PA system that they use. They can only load in so many songs. They're like, we don't.
Jim Crane's cutting corners and spots, and that is one of the spots he's chosen. We didn't get the iPad Pro.
Yeah,
we didn't get the one.
We're still dealing with a couple generations back.
Yeah, so he doesn't have enough memory. Nah, it's not that. It's just I'm sure it's not even something they think about. Brian King. Caleb Ord.
That would be funny to bring up to someone. They're like, it literally never crossed our minds to make Caleb Ord have an interest song.
Ferguson, or we didn't really think about it. Sorry, guys. We didn't think it would ever happen.
Didn't even occur to us.
Yeah.
But we do have two guys. Every other team has only one guy with an interest song. We have two, but we're stopping at two.
Yeah, we're already breaking
tradition.
We're not going to do it for another. Two is far too many as it is. But hey,
I'm saying only when they come in the ninth.
No, I know.
I just want the ninth inning. You get an entrance music, no matter what. And
no, I understand. You're not saying if you're coming in the seventh, you should get one.
Yeah,
I just don't think it's ever been thought of. In fact, I don't think it was ever thought of to give music to your setup man who still wants to be a closer until this past season.
So you had to make it an olive branch.
An exception to keep him from getting more in his, as the kids say, in his feels than he is already.
I should pass this along to Sugarland or something.
Yeah, make them. Yeah, just talk to the guys down the line at some point when they
test
connect.
Test it out.
And maybe just simply ask a question. It's unlikely.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, it's minor league baseball. Give everybody music. Give every reliever music. Who cares?
Just play music the entire time.
Yeah, during pitches.
Have a concert going on. Who cares?
In the background. Yeah, who cares? I guess we are making fun of the minor league champions, Space Cowboys.
We are. Well, we're not really making fun of them.
We're suggesting what they're doing is less important. And they did go win a title.
It is more relaxed.
It is a relaxed environment.
It is a very chill environment.
Yes. But they have supplemented that Astros roster throughout the season.
With a terrible farm system grade, all they do is win.
That's right.
I thought winning meant something.
Doesn't matter if you're 28 years old and doing it.
Tell that to Cooper Hummel.
He was very excited to let everyone know after they won the PCL. Oh, we got a bad farm system?
Mm.
Well, Cooper, you're not really a prospect.
You like apples? How about them apples?
Look, man, we appreciate your efforts, Cooper. But when they're grading them, they're like, "Hey, look at the guy in his mid-20s helping the minor league team win a title." I don't think that's how they judge prospects.
Rings.
You're quadruple A. It is what it is. But you're a champion, which is more important than anything and any label I could put on you. Shout out to the Space Cowboys. We're the home of champions.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, not so much. We're not officially the home of the Cowboys, but we run a lot of their games.
Yeah.
And now their quarterback has a slow-roasted hamstring coming off the bone. If you're unaware, Dak Prescott.
Slow roast.
His hamstring partially came off the bone.
Ugh.
So don't expect him back anytime soon. He won't be back for that Cowboys-Texans game.
Yeah, and it's a situation of when he comes back. I mean, their season isn't over, but it feels over.
It's on the precipice of being over.
And then at least four games because he was put on IR. And likely more if your hamstring needs to reattach to the bone.
Or surgery is needed to reattach it.
I'm guessing by the time he's healthy enough to come back, their season might actually be over.
This is one of those times where you just put Dak in the back pocket and go, you know what? It's not worth it. What's the point?
But hey, Trey Lance, let's see what you got.
Yeah, I don't know if
Cooper... He's never got a chance in the NFL.
I don't know if Cooper Rush is going to play well enough to keep that from happening, actually.
Yeah, just, I mean, when they already eliminated him out there.
Right now, they're going to use Cooper Rush to stay in it and with the hope of Dak coming back.
They play the Eagles and the Texans the next 2 weeks.
And the Eagles have played well.
Yes.
Particularly lately. Texans,
probably looking for a get-right spot.
If they are going to play to the level we think they're going to play... Against the Lions, the Cowboys game is one where they go, hey, we can't fall to 6-5. We need to get this one. And they're going to look at the Cowboys as a chance to get it. On the road.
You,
the Cowboys.
Right there. You're just who we're looking to play.
Hey, you know what? You're just who I'm looking for.
Well, me?
Cooper. Yeah, you, Cooper. You. We'll see. Well, we got a game before that. We'll see. Maybe the Texans.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Maybe we're on to Denver.
We're on to the Lions.
Or Detroit.
I wish it was Denver. It's Detroit.
Hey, they're what, 6-3?
No, they lost their last game, right?
Oh, okay.
They lost to Baltimore. They got beat down by Baltimore.
That's right. That talk about a game. We're talking about how the Lions we don't catch a lot of because by the time we look up, it's 17-7.
There's no point
in the second quarter. Like, all right, we're good here. That was that Ravens game.
Yeah, it was Bo Nix caught a touchdown pass, and it was like, ooh, look at Bo Nix. And then, oh no, look at Bo Nix the rest of the way as Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry put it on him. And we'll see those guys tonight against the Bengals. The Bengals still in the playoff chase, looking for a wild card spot, and they go to Baltimore. We'll see how that plays out. with those two offenses who have been working at a really high level the last couple weeks, particularly the Bengals, as they've gotten it together and found their rhythm. Okay, we are almost done with hour one. We're going to play some sound from John Heyman, who's talking about the potential for Alex Bregman to come back, and we are going to decide if this is actually reporting or simply him having to say something because he's on the air and Dana Brown said something hours before. Sean and I will get into it, because from what it sounds like to me, it's like, well, most of this is based off of what Dana Brown said. But we'll take a listen. But before we get to that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And you got a chance tonight. Well, you always have a chance on Prize Picks, but you have a chance tonight with the Ravens and the Bengals facing off. If you don't like what you see with the Ravens and Bengals, you think, you know what, Prize Picks, got to tip my hat. The player projections, too on point. I don't know if I should go more on Zay Flowers receiving yards. I don't know if I should go less on Jamar Chase to over half a touchdown. I don't know. Well, then you can hit the tab on the top, go to NBA. You can go to college football. You can go to hockey. You go to college basketball. Any sport you want, they got it. They even have European soccer. They have European basketball. They have darts, esports, whatever you want, however you want to make a little bit of money, you can do it on Prize Picks, whatever you think your area of expertise. Maybe you're like, I'm all over this darts tournament. I know exactly who's going to have the most bullseyes. I don't know if that's a projection for darts, but I know ball. I know more ball about darts than Sean obviously does. You go to Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES for $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.